Hey y'all, and welcome back to Hopefully Healing. Y'all, this episode is going to be a little different. We'll be discussing grief. So if you're new here, I just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so happy that you tuned in. And if you are a returning listener, hey y'all, welcome back. So before I get into this episode, I did just want to share that I took a little break. And it was not an intentional break. It definitely was my mind just shut down. Like, I just needed a moment. And what I've learned, and if you did listen to rest, I talked about, you know, resting or your body will make you rest. I hadn't rested. It had been just a lot. We moved, my birthday, we had two trips back to back. And it just had been a lot. And I did not take the rest that I needed. And my mind and body was like, got your ass, sit the hell down. And so mentally, the last 2 weeks, I completely shut down. And I thought that that was all of it. Like, okay, Monique, you are doing too much. You just need to take a moment. Just take a moment. I felt like that's why I hadn't recorded, and that just was not the whole of it. I started tugging at strings, and I just untangled a ball of emotions that ultimately led me to realizing that I was grieving. And not just grieving one thing, but I was grieving at the end of the day. So this episode, we are going to dive into grief. And it's funny because this was going to be the next episode anyway, but I'm glad that I waited to record it so we can see together what it looks like in real time to navigate grief, to realize what grief takes from you, to understand what you gain from losses, and how it really just changes your perspective of life, living, love, friendships, all of it. Like, grief definitely changes you. So I just wanted to say that before we jump right on in. But again, welcome back. Let's get right to it, y'all. Okay, so those that know me on social media know I suffered a major loss about almost 6 years ago. So let's just address the elephant in the room. I am a widow. I'm remarried now, but I am a widow. I lost my husband December 19th, 2019, just 6 short days before Christmas. And that was ultimately the most traumatic thing that has ever happened to me. We were only married a few years, and I will tell y'all the story of how it all went down. December 19th started off like any other day. I worked night shift at a hospital in St. Louis. He worked day shift at a job he had been working at for years. So started off like any other day. I got home from work. I would bring us home Waffle House every morning. You know, shout out, give me a deal. But I would bring us home breakfast every morning. I would give him a kiss goodbye. He would go to work. This day in particular, I had just got noticed that I got accepted into the LP into RN Bridge program, and I had to do some running around. So I knew I wasn't going to be able to sleep the whole day because I had to go back to work that night at 7. He went to work and, you know, did his thing at work. I got a call that said, hey, Monique, you want to come in early at about 3? And I was like, yeah, I'll go in about 3 p.m. and, you know, work till 11, get off, and we would start our weekend. We had a lot of stuff planned that weekend. Mind you, this is on a Thursday. We had a lot of stuff planned. So I went to work like normal. The last text message that I received from him, Chaz, is, hey, babe, I forgot the toothpaste at work, and we need that shit because our breath be sticking. And I was like, okay, yeah, go, you know, pick that shit up. And I knew that night he was going to hang out with his friends. They were going downtown to a new spot, like some arcade spot that they were going to. And so I was doing my regular do at work. Nothing too crazy. I got a text message from his best friend. You know, like, Monique, call me. I called his best friend. His best friend was like, hey, are you sitting down? And I'm like, what do I need to sit down for? What the hell is going on? He said I was blowing Chaz's phone up. The EMTs just answered his phone. They said he got into a car accident. They're transporting him to SLU. So in that very moment, as a wife and a chronic panicker, I kind of panicked a little bit. I called upstairs to my charge nurse and I said, hey, my husband just got in an accident. I have to go. Here's where things got a little tricky. Not necessarily tricky, but just different. And excuse me, y'all, if I start like having to pause and shit, because this is, you know, you reliving it. But I get in my car and I worked in Chesterfield, if any of you are familiar with, you know, St. Louis. I worked in Chesterfield area, and SLU is downtown, going towards downtown, on the south side, basically, the south part of the city. So I was in my car and I didn't speed. I remember not driving fast. I remember I called my best friend and told her, like, hey, Chaz just got in a car accident. You know, I'm on my way to SLU. I remember her mom praying on the phone. But something in me told me that something wasn't right. I didn't speed. I didn't rush. I didn't, like, you know, any other time you would fly to those situations. Like, you're doing a dash. And I don't know. It's almost like you can feel when your soul tie is broken. Yeah. Excuse me. And I just got there. My little cousin made it there before me. And Chaz's best friend obviously made it there before me. And they were blowing my phone up. They're calling me like, they're not letting us back there, Monique. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on you. They're not letting us back there. They're not telling us anything. And I remember parking my car in the parking garage. I walked out. I walked up the ramp to the emergency room. I said, hey, my husband was in an accident. I was told to get here immediately. And I remember walking to the back. And I'm a nurse. So when I walked to the back, there were two officers, a chaplain, and a social worker. And I knew. I knew. My spirit knew before I got there. My heart knew once I entered that hospital. I fucking knew. And I remember the officer saying, ma'am, you need to sit down. And I was like, sir, tell me whatever it is you have to tell me. I'm not sitting down. And it was a young rookie officer. And he was just like, you need to sit down. I'm like, hey, bro, say what the fuck you got to say, because I'm not sitting down. I already know what you're about to say. Just say what you have to say. And the senior officer that was there, he said, ma'am, I, you know, hate to inform you that your husband was in a single car accident and he succumbed to his injuries. And I said, excuse me? I remember this. So like, I'm visualizing this in my head as I'm telling y'all this story. I'm like, excuse me, who the hell you talking about? I said, I know not Chaz Potter, da 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 da. And I ran off his social security number, everything, y'all. Cause I'm like, y'all got the wrong guy. And they're like, yes, ma'am. And at that moment, the doors opened. They let his best friend back and my cousin back. And his best friend said, Monique. And I just screamed out, he's dead. And I fell to the floor. And that had to be one of the hardest things. And I was screaming so loud. I didn't even realize this. I didn't even know my cousin worked at this hospital. And she comes out like, what is going on? And then realized that I was her cousin. Like, what the fuck? So she was able to contact, you know, the rest of our family. And a lot of my friends came to the hospital. You know, my parents and Chaz's mom and dad came to the hospital. And it was just, man, I just remember that night so, you know, vividly on what happened. And that really started my grief process. I had to, you know, walk everybody back to see him. They did allow us to see him before they took him to the morgue or whatever. But I was 29 at 8:35 on December 19, 2019, I became a widow, a 29-year-old widow. So here I was, 29 years old and a fucking widow. What the fuck do you do with that? mind you, I had just received word that I was starting the bridge program in January. Like, I was literally, you know, 3 weeks after this man's death, I was to start school. And what the fuck? Like, what do I do with this information of being 29 years old and widowed? That was probably one of the most devastating losses I've ever had in my life. He was so young. I was so young. And now I had to navigate this life that we planned together without him. How the fuck do you do that? So I'll just kind of fast forward through a lot of this, but eventually I ended up having to move out of our home. We lived like deep south, like past Arnold type area. Moved in with his mother, and I stayed there until I graduated school and moved to Dallas. And shout out to her. Like, I just would not be where I am today without that lady. But again, what do I do with this grief? That really launched me into getting therapy. I just remember calling a therapist on Black Girls Need Therapy too. And I told her, like, hey, babe, either you gonna hook me up with somebody or I ain't finna survive. Because I was ready to end it all. And I mean ready to end it all. You, baby, suicide ready. I'm just not even finna lie to y'all. Like, I remember giving, we owned several guns. Because, I don't know, y'all, Chaz thought he was Rambo or some fucking body. I don't know what was wrong with the nigga. He was preparing for war. But we owned several guns. And I remember giving them to my dad because I did not know. I just didn't know what I was going to do. Like, I didn't know if I didn't want to live without this man. I didn't want to breathe without this man. And I just remember, like, I started therapy. And then I came across one quote. And I don't know where this quote came from. But it says something along the lines of, his legacy will never be that his death killed me. And when I tell you that quote carried me through so many dark days, just so many dark days. So that is what started my grieving process. Now, grief is a lot of different things. It doesn't, you know, when we often hear the word grief, we instantly think of death. But death comes in many forms. It can be, you know, grieving the loss of your old self, grieving the loss of, you know, of a loved one, grieving the loss of a job, of a relationship, of a future that you thought that you would have. All of those are things that you can grieve. It doesn't necessarily have to be a person. But like with any grief, you have to learn to navigate it. At some point, you have to come to acceptance of it. And we all know the five stages of grief. The five stages, the shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally you get to acceptance. What people don't really talk about. So I think, you know, when we were growing up and we were, you know, if you were in school and you were taught the five stages of grieving, they taught them in a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 manner. Hey, first you're going to be in shock. You're going to be in denial. You're going to, you know, tell yourself that this person isn't really gone, that this person isn't dead, or you know, then that may transition into anger and you're angry with them or you're angry with the thing. And then you go into bargaining and you're bargaining with God and you, well, if I do this, can I get this back? And all of this, you know, depression. And finally, you accept it. You accept the loss for what it is. What I hate about that model of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is that we are taught that it is supposed to go into consecutive order just like that. Grieving is not linear. One day you may be in acceptance and the next day you're back in denial. And I want to, you know, remind you that because I felt like a failure when I would go from acceptance of, you know what? And these are conversations I had with myself, like, you know, Monique, Chaz was never meant to be your forever. He was just meant to, you know, show you, you know, how to love your forever, or how to, you know, whatever it was he was just supposed to teach me. And I would accept that. And I'm like, you know, he lived a grateful life. And, you know, you got to see what real love was. You had to, you and him got to experience what real raw love was. And, you know, that's okay. That's me accepting it. Like, in my mind, I was accepting. And the very next day, I would wake up full of anger. Because how the fuck dare you leave me? Like, then I'm bargaining. God, why didn't you take me instead? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like nobody taught me that grieving was not linear. Like, I didn't know that. So sometimes I would wake up feeling like a fucking failure for going backwards. So I'm here to tell you that grieving is not linear, just like healing. You will be at one, you will jump to five, you will jump back to three. And that's okay. That's an okay space to be in. So, like I said before, we often grieve more than death. We grieve divorce, broken friendships, career changes, loss, or even losing your old self. Let's talk about some of the emotions that we don't expect to hold when we're grieving. We always, like, you know we're going, there's going to be a level of sadness. Like, we expect to be sad. We expect to be, you know what I'm saying, just feeling low. But we don't often talk about the, you know, the emotions of anger, the emotions of, you know what I'm saying, some, in some cases, relief. I know that sounds crazy, but, like, there are cases in what you're grieving that you may feel a sense of relief. Like, it may, you may be grieving a broken friendship or a broken relationship. And while you're sad that it's come to an end, you're also relieved because you knew it wasn't healthy for you. And that's just an emotion that's not often talked about. I know for me, I often say, you know, Chaz's death was the worst thing to happen to me, but also the best thing that ever happened to me. And when I say it, it comes off like, what the fuck do you mean? It was the worst thing that ever happened to me because it broke me. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it taught me how to rebuild myself and shift my perspective in the world. I was literally able to fly, if that makes sense. Like, I started to live without the fears that I was living with previously. Because it showed me that life is fragile. It's fickle. Like, you can be here one day and gone the next. So you have to live. And I don't feel like I would have been able to do that. I feel like his death forced me to learn who I was. Because before him passing, I was Chaz's wife. That was my identity. I was his wife. Who? Monique? Chaz's wife. It was always Monique and Chaz and never Monique solo. And I'm not mad at that because we were one. But after he passed away, I had no fucking idea who I was. I had no idea who I was outside of being his wife. And him passing forced me to find out who I was, to get to know myself again, to learn my likes and dislikes, and really live my life without regret, without fear. You know what I'm saying? So I often say it was the worst thing that happened to me by far. I not only lost my husband, I lost my best friend that night. So that shit, you know, was tough. But let's get back to these emotions. I remember feeling very numb. I was at one point I was extremely numb. I did not have I did not expect the emotion of hypersexuality. Baby, I needed to feel something outside of pain, and I'm gonna be honest with y'all, baby, I was hoeing. Looking back on it, if you haven't, I would say this because a few times I feel kind of judged, but looking back on it, I was wilding the fuck out. I was. I just needed to feel something. I needed to feel something outside of hurt and pain. So I was very sexual. Baby, I was fucking anything but legs. And I didn't feel bad about it. I was telling myself I need to do this to cope. like, this is me coping. That is not a healthy coping mechanism. But if that's where you are, hey, hun, I get it. No judgment over here, babes. Just be careful. Be safe. Yeah. there would be moments that I would just, like, not want to be around anyone. But in the same moment, I didn't want to be alone. And shout out to my tribe for around that time. Like, nobody left me alone. Like, I can count on one hand how many days I was alone for the first, like, 2 years. Babes, they was not leaving me by myself. So, you know, shout out to them. I remember feeling guilty for smiling and laughing because I felt like if I was smiling and laughing, you can't really be hurting the fact that he's gone. You can't be, you know, you just can't be hurting. And I think that's so fucking crazy, like, looking back on it. But in that moment, you have survivor's remorse. Like, you feel guilty about still being here when they left. And I'm just using this type of grief, and I will go into the other types, but I felt guilty because life kept going. And that's the fucking scary part about, like, losing something in somebody. Life keeps going. And they're not here. And your life keeps going. That friendship is over, but your life keeps going. And their life keeps going. You know, you lost that career, but life keeps going. And it doesn't slow down for you. It does not fucking slow down. And it keeps going and going. And I still have moments where I feel guilty for living. When I moved to Dallas, I felt so guilty because that was our plan. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I felt guilty for continuing on our plans, even though that, you know, he wasn't here. Crazy stuff, but I remember it. And I still live it to this day. Even, you know, this past week, our wedding anniversary was September 9th. And that day, I've lived through that day a few years now. But it was my first time being married to somebody else on that day. And that shit hit me like a ton of bricks because I felt guilty. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, how the hell am I? I'm finna celebrate a wedding anniversary in 2 months, but it's not to you because this is our wedding anniversary. You gone. And it was just a whole mind fuck. And I felt guilty and I cried and I was just like, wow, like, I didn't expect to feel guilty. But shout out to my wife because she always makes sure that we celebrate in some form or fashion. So we did go on a date that day. So thank you to her. But yeah, so, you know, nobody talks about those moments of feeling numb, feeling guilty, being happy, and then the guilt behind being happy. Those are just some of the emotions that are okay to feel. Even if they feel weird, like, they're okay to feel those. Now, let's talk about, like, how grieving changes you and changes, like, your routine and your relationships and even your sense of self. Nobody talks about what you lose when you lose something or someone. We know the thing that's lost, and, you know, that's hard. The job, the relationship, the friendship, the person, the future, hell, yourself. We know that part. But what about everything else that you lose in the process? For me, I lost my sense of worth. I lost my self-esteem. I lost who I was as a person. I lost peace, joy. All of those things were lost in the midst of me grieving. And I just don't feel like that's something that we really touch on. Because when you lose something major, again, this does not have to be a person, a part of you has to die with that thing. And I say that because you were so, like, kind of attached to it. Like, let's just take your career. Let's just take your career, for example. Let's just say, like, you were adamant to become this you know, basketball player. I'm just going to use that. And you worked all your fucking life to become this basketball player. You have only seen yourself as this basketball player. That's the only way you've ever seen yourself. That is the only version of yourself that you have accepted and that you love and that you have nurtured. And one day you are in a terrible accident, or one day something happens to where your entire career is snatched from you. You can no longer play basketball. That's no longer an option for you. A part of you just died with that dream. And I'm trying to make sure I say this right, but like, yeah, a part of you like just died with that dream, because now you, this is something you've nurtured. This is something you've put your all into. This is something that, you know what I'm saying? The only version of yourself that you have ever seen and accepted. And that version is gone now. It's gone. So now you have to figure out, what now? Where do I go now? If I'm not this basketball player, who am I now? And that's why the self-esteem, the self-worth, the peace, the joy, the happiness dies along with, you know what I'm saying, whatever it is that you're grieving. And so now you have to learn to figure out who you are outside of that thing, person or place. Rebuild your confidence in yourself without that person, place, or thing, and figure out your life and how to move forward without that person, place, or thing. And that shit is hard. It's extremely hard. So now that your world is shattered by whatever it is that you lost or whatever it is that you're grieving, let's pick up the pieces and let's create a masterpiece, because that's the beauty about something shattering. You are able to put it back together your way, in a way that looks beautiful to you. So I'll tell you what not to do. I'm gonna tell y'all a little story. Don't take a shower, slide down the shower wall, crying your ass, like crying your fucking eyes out and hell your ass off. Crying in the shower, slid down the fucking wall. I mean, think of the most insane Tyler Perry movie that you've ever seen of a motherfucker sliding down a wall crying. That was me. Don't do that. Don't get out the shower. Don't see a pair of scissors and cut all your motherfucking hair off. Yay. 3 days before your three or so days before, you know, this memorial for your late husband's 30th birthday. Don't do that. There are other ways to cope. There are other ways to get through this. So some coping tools and things that I've picked up along the way in the last five, almost 6 years. The number one thing is I give myself permission to feel. As a person who chronically stuffed down emotions when things got hard or when I felt like I was feeling too much or getting too emotional, I would stuff them down because, you know, we don't have time to feel. Just the household I grew up in. But I learned to give myself permission to feel. If I was angry, I was angry. I did not try to talk myself out of anger. If I was sad, I'm sad. I'm not finna talk myself out of sadness. I'm not gonna push down my sadness. I'm going to feel what I need to feel. And once I feel it, and then I can move on from it. I can process it. But definitely always give yourself permission to feel and let it out in whatever manner it is that you need to let it out in. If you need to journal, journal. Again, y'all know me. I'm not journaling any damn thing. If you need to cry, cry. Fun fact, I was not a crier before this loss. Now, baby, I be Kerry Washington ugly crying all the time. And do voice notes. I know my therapist talked me into doing voice notes because I don't like to journal. And talking to someone safe. Again, in almost all my podcast episodes, I really push the importance of community and having safety in your friends and in your family, that you can have safety in. So always, always, always talk to someone safe, talk to your therapist. If you are extremely, you know, faith-based, talk to your pastor, talk to a friend that you feel safe with and vulnerable with. Just create a community that can help support you through whatever it is that you're grieving. Yeah, that's important. Community support is very important. Move your body, you know, work out, feed yourself, rest without feeling guilt. We just talked about that. Things that also helped me was finding creative outlets. Y'all, when I feel like I'm spiraling, I will go do a bunch of shit. Like, I will find a hobby or something. 1 week it was pole dancing. The next week, I don't know. I may be doing gymnastics. Who knows? But find a creative outlet. Write music, speaking. And if you are faith-based, again, prayer, meditation, sitting in scripture, going to church, those different things are all, you know, great coping mechanisms. The one that helped me out the most, again, was my giving myself permission to feel whatever it was I needed to feel, in my community, my support system. I will shout out my tribe to the day I die. My girls, man, they held me down. I will shout out Chaz's mom to the day I die. That lady held me down. My dad, all of these, you know, my community, my support was and still is like insanely crazy. And I'm so grateful for that. Yeah. So practice those things. Now, when it comes to rebuilding your life without this person, I think the thing that I had to ask myself, or rebuilding your life without this thing, is who do I want to be? What kind of woman do I see myself as? And while that may be a very simple question, that was a very hard question for me to answer. So I had to sit with that. As far as building my confidence, I started to celebrate my small wins, shifting my perspective of what my life was supposed to look like versus what my life is and what I can make my life look like. The truth of the matter is, what I lost, I would never be able to get back. And a lot of times what you lost, you will never be able to get back. If you lost that career, you know, I had a devastating career change as well, or something I had to grieve within my career. And that rocked my world. That was like 3 years ago. But you have to pivot. The queen of pivoting. But again, I lost my train of thought. Sorry. Back to my confidence, the self-confidence thing, losing your confidence. Again, I had to speak positive affirmations over myself, celebrate my small wins, and really learn to pour into me. I had to realize I was more than the thing that I lost. Yes, I was Chaz's wife, but I was Monique before I ever met Chaz. And I had to learn to get back to being who I was prior, and who I have to be, you know what I'm saying, after. So that's just something to look into, pouring back into yourself and realizing what you want and who you want to be. When it comes to losses of friendships and things of that nature, those can be very tricky because sometimes you can get friendships and relationships back, and sometimes you have to just let sleeping dogs lie. And if you got to let the sleeping dog lie, grieve the friendship, appreciate it for what it was, but also remember why that motherfucker is broken. And that'll help you get through a lot of dark days. When it comes to careers, like I was saying, like I took such a hit in my career a couple of years ago, and it gave me like imposter syndrome. Like, I did not feel like I was a good nurse anymore. I didn't think that nursing was my I knew it was my passion, but it caused me to question everything about myself when it came to nursing. And I've always been very confident in nursing. So going through that was very traumatic as well. But how I rebuilt myself was just a lot of self-talk. I started searching for different avenues in nursing and also things that I could do outside of nursing that still gave me the feeling of helping someone and seeing miracles happen, i.e. hopefully you. But yeah, so anytime like you are experiencing any type of loss, any type of just any type of grief, it's just important to know that it is not linear. Some days you will feel great. Some days you will feel low. You will accept it. You will be angry about it. And hell, some days you will still be in denial. It's almost 6 years and I will talk to his mom and we both will just like bust out in tears because we just still cannot believe this is what life is. And sometimes I can sit here and I can accept it for exactly what it was and what it is and look at it like, you know, I have a guardian angel and, you know, whatever the case may be, I can look at it with acceptance and, you know, feel like, you know what, he's very proud of me for all the things that I've accomplished. And then the next day I can be like, what the fuck you die for? Like, what the fuck was you on? So that's just grief. Wherever you are in your grieving process, like, allow yourself to feel, develop healthy coping mechanisms, find you a community that supports you, whether it is, again, grieving the loss of a loved one, grieving the loss of your career, a friendship, again, or even yourself, because it is very easy to lose yourself in life, in situations, in jobs, in relationships. And a lot of times we don't realize we lost ourselves in something until we lose that something. And then you realize, like, damn, who am I in this season? Who am I? So if you are in that space, allow yourself grace. Spend time with yourself. Get to know yourself again. Figure out the things that you like, you don't like, and thrive in them. I will say, if you are in a position, again, of grieving and loss, and again, losing yourself, I think it is important to set boundaries. A lot of times during my grieving process, I did not set any boundaries because I did not want to lose anybody else. So I accepted a lot during that time. And now that I've worked through that and I've just, you know, started to set boundaries and come out of that fog of grieving, so to speak, I've lost a couple of friendships because they were trash ass friends during that time. But whatever the case, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. So I just said all that to say, wherever you are in your grieving process, it is okay to be there. Please feel how you need to feel. Cry when you need to cry. Let loose when you need to let loose. Accept it for what it is and start to rebuild yourself, whatever that looks like for you. I would encourage you definitely to sit with yourself and figure out what you want out of this entire process. Like, who do you want to become? What do you want to gain? Because there is gain on the other side of loss. So where you lose, you can gain. So figure out what your gain will be, if that makes sense. Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for bearing with me. Like always, thanks for, you know, coming back to Hopefully Healing. Follow me on all social media platforms. I love you. Happy healing. Remember, y'all, we doing this together in real fucking time. See y'all next week. Bye.